Hey friends, it's Casey. If you are in the Portland metro area, please know that on Tuesday, September 13th at 9 p.m., I will be hosting a music trivia night at Mendelssohn's, everyone's favorite classical music bar. There will be yummy drinks, fun and frivolity, some KCW swag, and some really awesome prizes to be won. That's Mendelssohn's on Mississippi, Tuesday, September 13th at 9 p.m. Welcome, friends, to episode 65 of Keep Classical Weird. I am your host, Casey Bozell, and what you are about to hear this week are highlights from one of my favorite times of year, the live episode taping of my podcast at the wonderful summer camp, Young Musicians and Artists. Now, if you'd like to see, yes, that's right, see, the full version of this recording, as well as get access to new episodes of Casey Does Classical a full 6 months before they're available to the public, head on over to patreon.com/keepclassicalweird and become a subscriber. The exception to this, I will say, is if you were a camper at YMA at either session, I will give you access for free to this video. Just shoot me an email at keepclassicalweird@gmail.com and I will get access set up for you. The first interview we start with is French horn player extraordinaire Leander Starr. He and I discuss some of the less delicate parts of being a horn player.
We have a wonderful French horn faculty that you just saw. And he's been at this camp for many years. Please welcome to the stage. Oh, I didn't give Tom enough chance to give you a theme song to come in on. Can you go back for a second? Coming to the stage is Leander Starr!
Let's go, man.
Hi, Leander.
Hi, Casey.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fabulous. How's your year at camp?
Oh, it's so good.
Good.
It's so good.
What are your highlights so far? What do you got?
Well, I have the best section, basically. So, I mean, let's be honest.
There's murmurings from the crowd about that. Now, you went to YMA as a camper, did you not?
I sure did.
How long ago was that, might I ask?
It was from, like, grunge to, like, peak Britney, basically.
That's an appropriate time frame. Thank you.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about. And what kind of things have changed from when you were a camper? Were you a counselor as well?
I was everything.
So you did camper, CIT, counselor, now you're faculty.
I did it all.
Yowza, that's so cool. What's the biggest change that you've seen from being on the faculty side versus like the camper side?
Well, I think, I mean, the level has changed. I mean, it's just gotten to be a better camp, you know, year after year. So, like, you know, the recitals we had, you know, it's like so good. You know, the counselors last night were just killing it.
Holy cats, that's so true. Give it up for your counselors.
I mean, there's things that change, but they kind of go cyclical. Like, sometimes it's a really wild camp, and sometimes it's a very chill camp. So it just kind of goes like this, but it's not like it's been a continual, change. It's just sort of like, goes ups and down.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
I would imagine from grunge to present, you have seen a lot of these cycles.
Indeed.
So, your French horn, you play the French horn for how long?
Since I was 11, so I guess, you know, 30 years
that,
or so.
That many years, yeah. Yes. So, I want to talk to you about a very serious subject.
Okay, Casey.
About the French horn.
Okay.
I'm a string player. Okay?
Really?
Yeah. Sorry.
Yes.
I'm officially announcing myself as a string player tonight.
Congratulations.
You heard it here first. Thank you. All of my bodily fluids stay inside when I play my instrument.
You know, you'd think that.
Please show your work. Please prove me wrong.
So, you know, what is this fluid? Right?
Right.
What is it? So, it's a gross way of thinking about it is it's lung water. You're welcome. But it's essentially the same thing as if you're, you know, it's winter time and you're fogging up the windows with your breath, and then you draw a little heart, you know, with your loved one's name in it. That's what's going on the inside of our horns. We're just fogging it up, mm-hmm. and writing our loved one's names and vibrations.
And then
sometimes it coalesces into a little teardrop of happiness. And then makes a giant lake on the stage.
I tend to be particularly biased about this, and I'll tell you why. Is that when I was in college, I did a lot of stage setup. I've fallen in it twice. Twice. Once was too many, and then I did it again.
You've been double baptized. Congratulations.
Oh. Thank you. Well,
it's been great for you.
I wouldn't want to relive it. I mean, how can I support my especially my brass playing, but any wind playing siblings and compatriots in the orchestra, if I'm seeing their puddles of happy
lung water.
After rehearsal, how can I embrace them with friendship and love after seeing that?
I think the way to think about it is it's just one of those things that ties us to the history of our art form. You know,
tell me more, Leander Starr.
You know, we have all these traditions. We wear these fun outfits. We have, you know, the conductor comes out, the A gets played, and they are all things that have happened through millennia. And just like that, there have been little puddles in castles, in concert halls, in fields of battle. Just little puddles. And so it's a part, you are a part of history. You have stepped and fallen in parts of history. It could be worse.
I never said it could. I never said that was the worst thing. But, all right, I'm going to really try to conceptualize it that way. What are you doing when you're taking your horn like a steering wheel and make it like a huge right turn? What's happening back there?
In that moment, you are sort of putting yourself into your mind into the state of a droplet of water and just sort of imagining the way you'd fall this way and then you'd spin around that way. And you're just sort of doing this sort of like, you know, roller coaster tycoon of, you know, movements inside of the tubing of your instrument so it can all fall out. Yeah.
I'm really touched by the beautiful way in which you have described this particular bodily function. And I had all sorts of snark to throw back at you, and as usual, you've disarmed me with your kindness, even about lung water. That's really amazing. I didn't expect that. Would you be willing to answer a few camper questions now
100%.
That you've talked about lung water?
100%.
It may or may not have anything to do with that. Let's see. This one just says trombone or oboe.
Oh. This is an easy one. If I didn't play French horn, I would be a trombone player. So jealous, you know? The slide. And just like, a really good jazz trombone player, it's like, just floats. It's so awesome. Man, it's such a versatile instrument. I love it. I love it. Sorry, oboe players.
I mean, that was a real... Whoever wrote that was a real either-or. Why do you... I mean, okay, this is making a big assumption with this. Why do you like classical music? I guess the precursor to that would be, do you like classical music?
I do. I don't think, you know, I think for me it's a lot to do with my life experiences in classical music. So my mom was a professional dancer. And so my first, you know, introduction to classical music was this music that she danced to, and then we were sort of like had around the house, and my sister and I would like dance around to it. So it was this very joyful and like very connected to the body thing. And so then, you know, I had these experiences at YMA and, you know, youth orchestras and all this stuff. And that, again, sort of like engaged my love of it. But I think throughout my life, it's still been this thing that's really connected to movement and performance. And I like chamber music. I can move a lot. I love playing the ballet and the opera pits with you, Casey, because of all the show that's happening above us and all the drama in that. So that's why I love it. Yeah,
that's a great answer. Yeah. Yeah. Could not be more appropriate. This will be our last camper question for Leander. What is your least favorite thing about your instrument?
I think my least favorite thing is what makes it difficult, which is like you just don't know what it's gonna sound like sometimes when you play. I was gonna say what's gonna come out, but then
we know what's gonna come out.
What sounds are going to come out of the French horn? You just don't know sometimes. You try to know, but sometimes you don't.
You try your best to know.
Of course, I have to include my interview with Dr. Sophia Taggart, who turned the tables on me in my own podcast.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I am just great. How is your camp going this year?
Yeah, it's going pretty well.
Great.
Yeah. Got a good crop of flutes, you know.
We have seen that. Did all of them play in the flute choir the other night?
Yes. No.
Oh no, wait. That was just
the counselors.
Those were the counselors.
And Elena and someone who we will not talk about. Just kidding. It's fine.
So Sophia has been on many, many episodes of Keep Classical Weird because she is our resident music historian and as of late movie reviewer with me, which is that's been an important thing to bounce ideas of movies off of each other. And actually, the T-shirt canon originally came from a conversation that we had. The idea of that.
It's true.
Came from a conversation with us.
Yeah, we thought maybe it'd be fun to send T-shirts out into the audience at just any concert. Like a sporting event.
Yeah. Is it indeed fun?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So we have data set of...
One.
One.
That's
one
enough.
Says yes.
That's enough.
That's enough.
Yeah.
Sophia, what do you think about throwing some trivia questions your way?
That sounds really great, except for, you know, when we do the podcast, it's always me kind of like saying my thoughts on stuff. And so I've decided to take over your podcast and instead ask you trivia questions.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to do this instead. It's going to be awesome.
It's not really how this works, but okay.
All right, you ready?
I think I have to be.
Yes.
I don't think I have a choice.
Yes, you do have to be. Okay. So I think the first question, and I made these kind of hard.
Great.
All right. So Eric Satie, he's famously a quirky guy. Was a quirky guy, sorry. Rumor has it he only ate food that was one color. What do you think that color was?
Do I get... This is not even multiple choice.
Just guess. You should know this.
All right, you know, let me think about... Let me think about colors of food. So, if you, like, if you only had white, you'd have cauliflower and rice.
Would you like to pull the audience?
Yeah, can I get your help?
Okay. White is the correct color.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Because that gets you a lot. That gets you. That gets you all of like any bread.
Rice.
Rice.
The rice noodles that we had for lunch today, which were awesome, right? Pears.
Pears. Cauliflower.
Like the inside of pears only.
The inside of pears. So we would have to discard the skin.
Cauliflower. White asparagus.
That's a white carrot.
Turnips. Okay, we could do this all night, but we should probably move on. All
right. hey, that's okay. I got that one. That one. We got that one right.
One. That's
yes.
One. Okay. Which major European orchestra narrowly missed sailing on the Titanic in 1912 due to a concert schedule change on their U.S. tour? Major European orchestra. They almost sank.
I'm going to go with, I just off the top, I'm going to go with the Berlin Phil.
No.
Oh, no.
London.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, they almost sank on the Titanic, but the U.S. concert managers or something just kept, like, changing their dates, and so they ended up having to take an earlier trip out to the U.S., which saved their lives. I know.
Okay, so one and one.
One and one.
Is where I'm at.
Okay, so I think you'll get this next one.
Uh-oh.
Because it's a throwback to a previous KCW podcast.
Oh, boy. I have not reviewed them in a long time.
What 20th century composer was obsessed with foraging for mushrooms? And he even started his own mushroom society.
I do know this one. It was John Cage.
Yes.
And I learned that from Sophia.
Yeah, so there you go.
Well, you were right. You know everything.
I do.
And I know very little, which is why if you listen back to other episodes of our podcast, you'll often hear a lot of me going, what? And really? Are you serious? And Sophia going, yeah. Yep. But I promise it's an interesting show. That didn't sound very interesting the way I just did it, but it really is.
The topics are interesting.
The topics are...
And they're delightfully delivered between the two of us, I believe.
We got a good podcast chemistry.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. Speaking of podcast chemistry, here's a camper question.
Ooh.
I'm just going to throw at you. What is your... Y'all, what is your least favorite instrument?
I want to say one thing for laughs. But I will say that I dislike the... I can't say anything. I like everything. Everything sounds lovely and seriously. Every instrument has a purpose. Some instruments, like the oboe, are for outdoors. No, I will say that I dislike the piccolo. I think it's dumb. it's really short and it's really high, and I think there's no one has any business playing up that high.
That's fair. Oh, what is your best YMA experience?
The PC person in me would like to say that every moment is a gift. But let me think. I love every year when the faculty wins the boat race.
So every year.
But I would have to say that my favorite moment at YMA is usually the first moment when I get to camp and I see people after having not seen them for a year, and just like that instant joy when you see someone, it's just a feeling that is wonderful and I love it. Yep.
Oh yeah, I forgot about this question.
Oh no.
Would you rather? Be attacked by a horde of 500 chickens or 500 wasps? This is interesting because I sense in the room everybody kind of chuckled and had an instant answer, and then they thought about it again.
Yeah.
And then everybody went, but wait. It's fascinating.
I don't think I'd rather be attacked by the wasps, but I think it would be karma, and I think it would be fitting. Because I go after them in my backyard pretty hardcore. So I feel like, you know, they can get their revenge. It's fine.
I feel like in order to avoid nightmare fodder, we're going to do one last question so we don't end on that one. Oh, have you ever gotten stage fright?
Oh, yeah, totally. And it's fascinating because when I was younger, I actually seemed a little fearless. And then when I got into college and started, I don't know, like, being grounded in reality a little bit more, I started getting more nervous. And so, yeah, I had to read a bunch of books and kind of find out, you know, how to make it manageable for me on stage. And it goes in cycles. Sometimes I'm nervous on one concert and I'm not on others. So, you know, it just depends. And I have things that I work through every time before a concert to kind of help get me prepared and be in the right mental space.
Wonderful answer. Thank you.
Finally, the last two fellows here are special. John Hubbard and Chris Engbertson announced it was their last year at YMA this summer, and this matters deeply to me, as the three of us play in a piano trio together named Hammers and Bows. The trio would not have been formed if it wasn't for YMA, since that's where we all met.
I would love to start out with talking about that piece in particular, because I think we did that at our very first concert together, and we did the entire Mendelssohn trio. Someone...
I said a lot of words, many of which I can't repeat in this.
Someone has since banned this trio from our piano trio from ever doing it again. Would you like to explain why that is?
It's an amazing piece of music. I'm just a giant baby, and my part's way harder than theirs, just straight up. So if you're a pianist and you look at the Mendelssohn D minor, and any of your string player friends are like, this trio is really hard, you can be like, you're the giant baby this time, because our part is way harder. True. It's just tricky. There's a lot of notes. It's an extraordinary piece, but it's very notable.
It's very notey. A lot of it goes really quick, and a lot, I feel like a lot of it is that you have all of the underlying, yeah, like ambiance and
it's a lot of fill.
It's a lot of fill, and John and I just get to kind of we get to sing during the whole time, and that's it.
Yeah, and I have to interrupt that. Yeah, maybe we only did it once and we'll never do it again, but Chris played it perfectly.
He played it amazingly. Yeah. So, our trio name is Hammers and Bows, and I was trying to figure out with both of you how we got that.
Our best guess, we put a box in the audience the first concert we did, And we think someone, just some random lovely person, came up with that idea and we scooped it up.
Was it any of you? We don't know who came up with it.
We can't figure out where it came from.
Now, wait a minute. Three of you raised your hand. So I think there's... Yeah, we can't. We don't know who came up with it, but it was, and it was among several suggestions, yeah. Right? Because we didn't know what to name our trio. So our first concert, we just said, "Come listen to us and name our trio for us." And we need our audience to help work.
And if you're not a pianist and you're wondering why we use that, that's what we actually are. We're just a long series of hammers hitting strings. So that's if you were unsure where that comes from.
And John and I have bows.
We have bows. And no bodily fluids come out
that's
of that.
That's absolutely right.
True.
That's the best part.
So
that's the sign of a good concert is you do not leave any bodily fluids behind.
Well, that's a sign of a good concert for us.
For us. Yeah.
Nobody slips.
That's nobody slipped in anything in our concerts. So let's see. Chris, yeah. I'm going to start with you on this. What do you think has changed the most at YMA since you started in 2011, right?
Yeah. Well, my first year was the first year of the piano program. It didn't actually exist up to that point. Nice. So we did a lot of experimenting and kind of figured out what worked. And we've developed some really fun traditions, like watching the Rite of Spring every year. So hopefully you'll see some pianists doing some pretty wild Nijinsky choreography in the courtyard at some point.
Nice.
Yeah, we've just built a really amazing family, like students like Ethan and Karina and Lathe and these students that have been here and others have, you know, that have been coming to camp for, you know, years. It's a really amazing thing for me. I'm very honored that people like to be part of it. It's really fun for me. So it's a like you said earlier, Casey, like a bittersweet moment for sure. I'm going to miss all of you, but it's been great.
So these traditions, really, I mean, they started with you.
Yeah, and I mean, I think my oldest, Ethan, I think you're the oldest one now, right, with me? Where are you?
We may not be in here.
Oh, he may be sleeping.
Oh, you
let us hope that Ethan is sleeping.
Well, you could say anything you want about him right now.
All right, let's spill the tea for real. No, I think Ethan came here my second year, so he's been here for like 9 years, too. So it's like a family at this point. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. And John, you came here... as you are now, as the cello teacher and string ensemble conductor, what's changed the most since you started here?
Well, I guess just fundamentally, just looking at the numbers, it's camp is way bigger now. But at the same time, things seem to run ever more smoothly as the bumps get all figured out. And I think that the time schedule now, plenty of time to do all the different musical activities that we want to do, and the camp's just running beautifully. It was really hard to take that year off, but boy, it's only our second year back, and it's great. What are the things that have changed? The food's about the same, I think. The eggs, 12 years on, eggs are about the same, but they're not bad. They're just fine. Weather sure is better this year than last year. But watching everybody grow and see the new ones coming along, that's something that has always been that way at YMA. That is why we all love it.
Well, we are all so happy that you've been here. And yeah, give these two a hand just for their time.
Before we do our questions, our trio is not breaking up, so it's not as if you'll never see Chris and me again. So things will be a little different, but
yeah,
we'd love to come.
I wouldn't let this break up. I was like, okay, I guess if you have to, but you're not. They have to keep me in line, basically.
It's a hard question, Chris. You have to do it.
Oh boy.
You can both answer this one. This is a nice softball to start.
Okay.
Which of Vivaldi's four seasons is your favorite?
Spring.
Whoa.
Well, let me temper that. Winter, but then Richter's reimagining of spring.
Did you know I was going to ask that?
No,
there was literally no delay.
I just have a lot of feelings.
You have a lot of feelings. So that's all right. Excellent. Same question, John.
I really like winter, and I'm trying to think back because I'm getting some couple stories, couple of J-Hub stories tweaked in my brain. But they're little dogs barking. The
I think that's Summer.
The little Ponticello thing. Is that Summer?
Is that Summer where the dogs bark?
Okay, that's my favorite one. At one time at the Bach Festival in Eugene, we were doing that piece, and the violist's bow fell over the wrong side of the bridge, and it made this horrible squeaking sound in a rehearsal, and the conductor kind of looked over, and the violist didn't miss a beat, and he said, "It's a baby." "It's a puppy." And so, anyway, I like that one because I do like that opening. It's so icy and cold that it makes such a picture. Yeah, that one. Before all you know what breaks loose.
I'm sorry. That was an amazing story, and we had just some really A-plus miming happening here of the violin.
Can you tell that for the piano? This is how you play the violin.
So good. All right. This is a question that's making an assumption. Why is classical music better than other music? I did not write these questions.
Just because something is very old does not mean it is better. But I say to you again, jazzers, just play the right notes. By the way, that joke, if you didn't know, that comes from The Office. So it's maybe a little before your time now. But there's a fabulous line where Angela is talking about how much she hates jazz, and she says, "Just play the right notes." So that's where that joke came from. Yes, I'm aware that jazz should sound like the jazz, just to clarify.
The jazz.
Yeah. I don't know. I listen to classical music, but I don't listen to classical music when I'm like, as I said to the pianist, like chopping onions or driving my car. I'm probably listening to Radio Lab.
Nice.
And I think the question says, why is classical music better than other? Yeah, you know, I got to question that question. It's kind of silly, I think, to take any kind of music and say this is the best, because any music that somebody plays and commits themselves to it and works on it really, really hard, maybe it's a chord that's a song that's got just three chords, but you don't do those three chords in such an interesting, unique way and with such commitment, it's as good as anything. So that's one thing that's so great about music. And it's, I think it's a bit silly to say mine's better than yours.
Ah. One more, unless it involves chickens and wasps, in which case, well, that's going to involve. Oh, this is good. What is your favorite way to consume potatoes? This one stumps you.
No, I mean, I feel like I'm talking too much. I want to give John.
Eat potatoes. You know, I think the best is a really big, huge russet potato, just with a crispy skin, and you cut it in half, and just really good sour cream, and really good chili with some really good, super good tapatio hot sauce on there. And I think it would have to be accompanied by a beer. That's just me.
Yeah, I would be hard pressed to find potatoes in a form I did not enjoy. So, totally honest with you. But I'm just the sucker for some good, like, breakfast potatoes, honestly.
Mm. Yeah, cool. Some breakfast potato fans in the audience.
Am I leaving this off on potatoes? Yes, I am. But remember, you can catch the full version of this taping by becoming a Patreon subscriber. And this also helps support the show and keep it going. My deepest thanks to Neil Spindler, Heidi Sprecher, Galen Cohen, and Hazel, the support dog, as well as the entire YMA family that I'm so, so lucky to be a part of. Our theme music is composed by my dear friend, YMA trumpet and jazz faculty, and not dead composer, Thomas Barber. Check out more of his stuff at thomasbarber.com. Web development support is provided by Tina at citybeautifuldesign.com. Keep Classical Weird is created and edited by me, Casey Bozell. Check us out on Facebook and Instagram. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Stay safe and stay weird.